Oh, said the lecturer in recent runes. It also says here that the denizens of Purdee Island also existeth in a state of nature. He struggled with the ancient handwriting. Yeti is in fine health and of good bearing and stature, and is truly a nobly savage. Let me have a look at that, said Ridcully. The book was passed down the table. The Arch-Chancellor scowled. It's written noble, he said. Noble savage means you act like a gentleman, don't you know? What, go fox hunting, bow to ladies, don't pay your tailor, that sort of thing. Shouldn't think that chap owes his tailor very much, said Ridcully, looking at the accompanying illustration. All right, chaps, let's see what else we can find. He's having rather a long bath, isn't he? Said the Dean after a while. I mean, I like to be as well scrubbed as the next man, but we're talking serious prunes here. Sounds like he's sloshing about, said the senior wrangler. Sounds like the seaside, said the bursar happily. Try to keep up, will you, bursar? Said Ridcully wearily. Actually, said the senior wrangler, there is a certain sea-gully component, now that you mention it. Ridcully stood up, strode over to the bathroom door, and held up his fist to knock. I am the Arch-Chancellor, he grumbled, lowering it. I can open any doors I damn well please. And he turned the handle. There, he said as the door swung back. See, gentlemen, a perfectly ordinary bathroom, stone bath, brass taps, bath cap, humorous scrubbing brush in the shape of a duck, a perfectly ordinary bathroom. It is not, let me make myself quite clear, some kind of tropical beach. It doesn't look remotely like a tropical beach. He pointed out the bathroom's open window to where waves lapped languorously against a tree-fringed strand under a brilliant blue sky. The bathroom curtains flapped on a warm breeze. That's a tropical beach, he said. See? No similarity at all. After his nourishing meal, that contained masses of essential vitamins and minerals, and, unfortunately, quite a lot of taste as well, the man with Wizard on his hat settled down for some housekeeping, or as much as was possible in the absence of a house. It consisted of chipping away at a piece of wood with a stone axe. He appeared to be making a very short plank, and the speed with which he was working suggested he'd done this before. A cockatoo settled in the tree above him to watch. Rincewind glared at it suspiciously. When the plank had apparently been smoothed to his satisfaction, he stood on it with one foot, and swaying, drew around the foot with a piece of charcoal from the fire. He did the same with the other foot, and then settled down to hack at the wood again. The watcher in the waterhole realized that the man was making two foot-shaped boards. Rincewind took a length of twine from his pocket. He found a particular creeper which, if you carefully peeled the bark off, would give you a terrible spotted rash. What he'd actually been looking for was a creeper which, if you carefully peeled off the bark, would give you a serviceable twine, and it had taken several more goes and various different rashes to find out which one this was. If you made a hole in the soles and fed a loop of twine through it, into which a toe could be inserted, you ended up with some footwear. It made you shuffle like the ascent of man, but nevertheless had some unexpected benefits. Firstly, the steady flop-flop as you walked made you sound like two people to any dangerous creatures you were about to encounter, which in Rincewind's recent experience was any creature at all. Second, although they were impossible to run in, they were easy to run out of, so that you were a smoking dot on the burning horizon while the enraged caterpillar or beetle was still looking at your shoes and wondering where the other person was. He'd had to run away a lot. Every night he made a new pair of thonged sandals, and every day he left them somewhere in the desert. When he'd finished them to his satisfaction, he took a roll of thin bark from his pocket. Attached to it by a length of twine was a very precious small stub of pencil. He'd decided to keep a journal in the hope that this might help. He looked at the recent entries. Probably Tuesday, hot, flies, dinner, honey ants, attacked by honey ants, fell into waterhole. Wednesday, with any luck, hot, flies, dinner, either bush raisins or kangaroo droppings. Chased by hunters, don't know why, fell into waterhole. Thursday, could be. Hot. Flies. Dinner, blue-tongued lizard.